I'm glad he touched me and made me whole. And if you're saved, he did the same for you. And if you're not saved this morning, he can touch you and make you whole. You just come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to please take your Bible and turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 3. We'll stand, please, as we honor the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 3. We are going to continue this morning our series on the church in the last days. This morning, our text is found in verse number 3. We'll start back to verse number 1, 2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And now we're in verse number 3. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. And this is what we'll be preaching on this morning. Incontinent. So what we see here this morning is that people inside the church, as well as outside the church, are described as being incontinent. So that's what I want to preach on this morning with the help of the Lord. I want to preach on incontinent Christians. Incontinent Christians. Brother Brad, would you pray for this message, and everybody can be seated. Yes. Help me. Yes. Help me. Please. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. According to the Bible, the closer you and I get to the return of Jesus Christ, the more you and I are going to have to resist the temptation for us to practice no restraint or to exercise a lack of self-control in our Christian lives. Now, that's what it means to be incontinent. If you were to look up the word incontinent in the dictionary, you have about four basic meanings. Here they go. Number one, incontinent means lacking self-control. Number two, unable to contain or control. Number three, failure to restrain sexual appetite. And number four, inability of the body to control functions. Now, years ago when I worked as a chaplain and bereavement worker with hospice, we were given a three-ring binder that contained a face sheet for all the patients. Now, years later, of course, everything's on computer. But then these face sheets contained information about the patients that the LPNs, the RNs, the social workers, the aides, the chaplain, the bereavement services, it would contain information about your patient before you went in there. And on these face sheets, you'd have information such as this. You'd have the name of the person you're going to see, maybe their birth, their address, their doctor, their diagnosis, the symptoms or sicknesses related to their terminal diagnosis, other cancers they may have at that time because it may have metastasized to somewhere else. And sometimes on that face sheet, you would see this word show up, incontinent. And what that was telling us that was going to see this patient is that it simply meant that the patient that you were going to see had lost his or her control of her or his bladder or bowels. Now, it certainly wasn't their fault, but they were no longer in control of themselves. And unfortunately, many Christians have no control over themselves. And the Bible tells us that we can look for it inside the church, just like outside the church, where we actually lose control of ourselves and exhibit no temperance and no moderation. And I'm telling you, that's where the body of Christ is today. And there's nothing for trouble when people don't have control of themselves. It's a situation where the average Christian mind, his mind runs wild with wicked imaginations. Self-discipline and self-control is a joke. Self-discipline and self-control in our society is a joke. It's a growing problem among Christians. So I got 3 points this morning I want to give you on the subject of incontinent Christians. I want to see the explanation of an incontinent Christian. Number two, I want to see some examples of an incontinent Christian. And then finally, I want to give you some encouragement if you're here this morning and you are, in fact, an incontinent Christian. All right, here we go. Number one, I want to give you the explanation. First of all, I want you to understand that this word is a New Testament word. You do not find it in the Old Testament. It only occurs twice here, as we just read it. And then you'll find this word also mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 5. Except over there, the word is actually incontinency. And the way the word is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is it's used as a warning to Christians who are married. Paul warns them not to abstain from sexual intimacy for too long, or they may be tempted by the devil for their incontinency. In other words, what he's telling them is, if you abstain from each other and withhold from each other for too long, one of you may lose your self-control and step outside of the marriage. So that's how the two ways the words are used. Again, I want to emphasize this morning as we get into the message, an incontinent Christian is one who lacks self-control. They don't have self-control. Listen, again, in our society today, I'm just going to preach it. It could be a Christian who has no restraint when it comes to their sexual appetite. We see that more and more. As the years have passed by, I have to deal with more and more sexual sin than I did when I first got into ministry. When I'm 50 years old now, when I first began preaching, I was 23. And those first few years, I will tell you, the last 15 or 20 years, it is amazing. I'm not talking about outside the church. I'm talking about sexual sin inside the church. You know what it's like to me? It's like these Christians nowadays are like a pack of dogs. You don't have any control of yourself. And there's something wrong with us. Now, I want you to understand what that Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 28. The Bible says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. If you don't have control of yourself, the Bible says you're like a city that's broken down and without walls. Well, what would that mean? Well, I tell you, it means something very major in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, cities were fortified by walls, and walls was used to help protect a city. And if a city did not have a wall in the Old Testament, or if a city had a broken down wall in the Old Testament, do you know what would happen? It would be easy prey for the enemy to come in and attack that city and take over that city and destroy them, kill them, take them in, you know, as prisoners, make them service, whatever. And you know what's happened to us? We are easy prey for the devil. We are easy prey for the flesh to control our lives. We are easy prey for the world to manipulate us rather than the King James Bible. Why? Because we lack self-control. We have no restraint. If I like it, if I want it, I'm going to do it. This is a self-gratification society that we live in. And I want to have fun. And, you know, back when I was in school, it was Cindy Lauper. Girls just want to have fun. Well, not bad fun, but that's what everybody thinks. It's like, if I can do it and I want to do it, I'll do it. All right. All right. You know what you are? You're incontinent. You're incontinent. And you know what you are in your Christian life? You are like a city with no walls. You have no protection. And the devil can easily manipulate your mind and your spirit. You are easily influenced by the world, and your flesh will control you, not the Spirit of God. Not the Spirit of God. I think our environment here in America has helped that too. I think it's helped it because everything is so attainable in this country. You think about that. I mean, you may not be rich, but you have access to money and food and recreation and health care, and you can be taken care of. We're not used to, listen, in America, we're not used to not getting what we want. Amen. If we want it, we usually can get it. It's instant gratification here in America. And we have no self-control because we don't have to have much self-control to function in this society. We don't want to be told no by God or anyone else. And we feel like, you know what, if this is what I want to do, if it feels good, if I enjoy it, do it. And you get to a point where you just lose self-control. And listen, it's not just out in the world. It's in the church. It's in the church. Now, that's the explanation. Let me give you some examples. And by no means is this going to be an exhaustive list, but I want to sort of get you honed in on what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Listen. This is going to be the negative part of the message, but thank God if you'll get through this part, I have some encouragement for you at the end, okay? This is the negative part of the message, but let me give you some examples of where I'm seeing Christians inside the church where they have no control. They're incontinent. They've lost control of their body, of their mind. First of all, when it comes to their mouth. Amen. You know, some people need a diaper on their mouth because their mouth is like an incontinent bladder or bowel. And what's coming out of that mouth is about the same as coming out the other end. Everybody all right? I mean, that was plain enough for you, Woody. You understood what I just said. Matter of fact, we have a crude way of expressing it out in the world. I'm not going to say in here like that man's talking some. That's what's coming out of your mouth. Everybody all right? I mean, this wouldn't bother you. You wouldn't get sold up right now unless you're a mouth runner, would you? You know what James chapter 3, verse number 8 says about the mouth? It says, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison, the Bible says. So people have trouble controlling their mouth. I guess a lot of junk started inside the church and outside the church. And listen, it's not just, you know, people run their mouth for several reasons. Anger, discontentment, whatever. Hey, man, listen. Listen. If you're upset about something and nobody else is upset about it, keep your mouth shut and don't upset them, too. How about that? You just, well, I don't know why everybody ain't upset about it. Ah, maybe it's you. Maybe you're the one that ought to just get the thing straightened out. Amen? Your mouth. I tell you, where people are incontinent, they have no self-control in our society when it comes to their appetite. Now, I really don't want to preach on this very much, but because I'm guilty. I really am. I'm guilty. I'm sorry. I mean, but I learned years ago, Brother Ben, that I'm not going to not preach on something just because I'm struggling with it. If it's in that book, it's right, and it don't matter if it crosses me or you. Now, you don't get the nickname Heavy Bishop by being skinny. And I'm making light of it, but I'm very serious. Now I've lost the weight and I'm trying to do better, but my body is the temple and God wants me to take care of it. He wants me to get out and walk and do some exercise and try to watch the way I eat. And sometimes that's very difficult for me because I love sweets. You know that. Everybody knows that about me. I don't have to confess this to you. However, we have a country full of people that just, they have no control over their appetite. And you know what's funny to me? These preachers that'll get up there and preach so hard against smoking and drinking and snuff dipping till they turn red in the face and they're 100 pounds overweight. Amen. That's hypocrisy. Right. I'll tell you what, you better not smoke this cigarette. You better not dip that chew in the back of it. Better not drink. Bless God. You're a big fat hypocrite. Literally a big fat hypocrite. Everybody all right? Us people in here of the bigger complexion don't like that kind of preaching, do we? Amen. But people have no control. They're into liquor and drugs and they are into cigarettes and tobacco. They're just addicted. You're addicted. When people say, I can quit anytime I want to, you're a liar. It's taking all your money. It's making your breath stink. It's probably going to give you lung cancer if you don't stop the mess. Why in the world don't you quit then? Because you can't. You can't. You've lost self-control. And the fact that you don't want to admit it means you are deceived about it. Nobody in this world would continue to eat bad and drink liquor to drunken and rot their liver out and smoke their lungs out and develop throat cancer and everything else and waste all their money. Nobody would do that and say, well, you know, I can just stop anytime I want to. You're a liar. If you could, you'd quit. My mama and daddy both quit smoking. But wait, my mama quit a long time, probably when I was in school. My daddy quit a few years after I was out of school. But I got to thinking sometime, I wondered how I smelled to the teachers and all of them. I mean, I remember driving down the road on cold mornings, going hunting or bust some wood or something. My daddy got the truck doors cracked like that and smoke just boiling in there. And I'm like, boy, this is sure good. And I mean, smoking all in the house, all in the curtains and everything else. I wonder when I went to school if them teachers thought, man, that little boy right there, he smells like a cigarette. Bet you I smelled. Everybody all right? My mom and daddy didn't have much money. They were smoking a pack or two, however how much they smoked today and all that money they were spending. Why didn't they quit? Why do I know that it's running my sugar up? And I know I need to lose more weight, and I keep doing it. Why do you reckon I do that? You reckon I might not? Well, I can stop eating them Twinkies anytime I want to. Well, why don't I do it? Let me tell you something, folks. We live in a society, and I'm part of it, that exercises no control. We are out of control. Is it any wonder that this country is going in the direction it's going in? Is it any wonder? Lust, like a bunch of wild dogs. It's a lust for people and things. 2 Peter 1:14 talks about having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Peter said there's a bunch of folks out there, their eyes are full of adultery, just looking for it, and it says they can't stop sinning. They don't have any control over their body. They're just animals with an animalistic instinct for sexual stuff. I hope you don't know too much about it, son. But amen, thank you. But that's what we got. And then what about with spending? Do you know what the credit card debt is for the average person in this country? Man, you fool with a credit card. Let me tell you something. You whooped to start with. They got you behind before you ever put anything on it. The only way you can come out good on a credit card, and I learned this years ago from Darby's daddy, is you have to pay the balance off every month. Now we can do that, and some of you, and I'm not bragging on me, that's just something we can do, and some of you others can do that, but most of you can't do that, so you need to cut your credit cards up. Amen. You will never get ahead with your credit card. It's designed to put you under. It really is. But most people have no control over their spending. No control over their spending. If I want it, I'm gonna get it. And we'll just let, you know, the repo man come get it later, and I'll worry about how to pay for it later, but I want it. I want it. No self-control. I remember a lot of Americans think like my boy did, Zachariah, when he was about 4 or 5. I remember one time Zachariah was coming along there, and he wanted something. And I said, son, me and your mama don't have money for that. He said, Daddy, just write a check. Now, that's a 4 or 5-year-old boy, but some of you just like that. Just write a check. Something will be in there now. I get paid Friday. Something will be in there, maybe. Just write a check. Nah, your picture's going to be in there in the post office for what they call it, negotiating a worthless instrument. Amen. What about entertainment? No control. I know of a fellow one time, he went and told his pastor down there in Alabama where I'm from, He said, Pastor, I'm going to tell you something. I'm never going to be here on Super Bowl Sunday night. He was a deacon in a church. He wouldn't have been my deacon. You're going to lay out to watch the Super Bowl. Don't come tell me about it. Everybody all right? He was proud. I won't be here on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm going to be at the house watching the Super Bowl. What an idiot. This guy had plenty of ways to record the thing. He didn't have to miss the Super Bowl. Probably want to be there to see that vulgar halftime show. I pastored a fellow a long time ago, not this last church, but the church before that. That fellow lived down the street from the church. He had about two or three houses down the street. And I'd go down there and visit him because I lived in a little parsonage right there. And I'd go see him and whatever. And I was at that church for 5.5 years. And in 5.5 years I was there, Sonny, he came to about 3 services. But one day he came clean. One day he came clean. And he said, well, brother, I'll tell you why I ain't there. True story. But this tells you a little bit about the mentality of where I'm from. He said, I like NASCAR. And NASCAR starts at 12 o'clock. And I want to see the beginning of the race. Now, you know what? I don't preach very long. We usually get out by 12 or 12:05. He don't live 300 yards down the road. But he can't see the first 2 laps of 3.5 hours of this. Go, Dale, go! I want to go to Talladega. I bet you do. Everybody all right? I'll tell you something else where they don't have no control. Don't get me wrong. I think sports is a great thing. I think youngins ought to play some sports. I believe it helps you athletically. It helps you physically. It helps you mentally. It helps you develop some character working with folks. But we made sports a god in this country. And I'm sick and tired of it. We've lost our ever-loving mind. We run our children all over to every ball tournament this side of hell and keep them out of church and keep them out on Wednesdays and keep them out on Sundays, entering these softball tournaments and baseball tournaments and rodeos and all that kind of mess. It's all designed by the devil to ruin your family. I don't care if you amen me or not, bless God. I'm right. I've seen it. My boy, I remember he played soccer. And he made the All-Stars a few times. I don't know why he liked soccer. He just did. That's where the communists play that overseas and burn down the stadiums. But that's right. They kill you. Amen. But he liked soccer. He liked it from the time he was 5 to 5. He played and he made the county team. And I remember one time they played there. And if they won one more game, they go to Dothan, Alabama to play for the state championship. And he had to play on Sunday. Now, I done talked to his coach and told him, you're not playing on Sunday. I know what some of you think. That's, you're just over the top and you just push him away. And you're, okay, you think what you want to. But in my house, I said, you can play ball, you can do whatever, but you are not missing church and the important things of God to go kick a soccer ball. Amen. Now, if you think I'm over the top, that's fine. But a lot of people do. A lot of people do. And maybe some of them try. Maybe I do need to back off some. But I'm going to tell you something right now. My boy left home and he never doubted where his daddy's priorities were. Never doubted. Some of you, I'm not trying to be ugly, but your youngest and your grand youngest have spent more time this past year in a ballpark or on a ball field than having a house of God, and that's your fault. That's your fault. You're to blame for it. People's emotions are out of control. They're angry. They're afraid. They're fearful. We got more all these anger management classes. People have to go to that stuff because it's so mad. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm mad right now. COVID-19's got everybody afraid. I've never seen people whose emotions are so messed up. And you know what kills me? Listen, I'm not trying to be ugly. Please, how many of you know I'm trying to help you? Do you believe it? This is what's been shocking to me. The older people, the much older people that are more inclined to sickness are the ones that said, okay, que sera, sera, I'm going to church. I'm going to be there. Do you know who the folks are that's wigging out? They can get in Walmart and get to the ball field.
church. I can't go to church. It's the middle-aged, and it's like 50 and 40 and 30 in the younger crowd.
Amen.
You mean to tell me that somebody, like I'm looking back there, and folks that already has health problems and as old as they are, that says, bless God, I don't, if it gets me, it gets me. I'm going to meet in the house of God. Now, I'm not telling you to do something stupid, and I'm not getting on to you if you stayed out for COVID. I've just found it very surprising to me that the people that's playing this up the most are the people in their 30s and 40s. And the older bunch, it ain't slowed them down a bit. And they're the one that's more susceptible to die from it. Just think about it a little while. And then we have out of control social media. Facebook. Twitter. Tweedledum. Instagram. Pinterest. Smartphones that are making you so dumb. Do you realize how dumb these smartphones are making you? You're out of control with it. You're out of control with it. I'll tell you how I know you're out of control with it. I bet there's somebody right now in here I just can't see you looking at a smartphone. I see it all the time. Last Sunday when I was preaching, I ain't being ugly or whatever, but it sounded like a place of business in here, phones going off. You got to have that smartphone. Listen, I can't even go out and eat with nobody anymore. We're sitting there at the table with the phones laid up on the table. Don't invite me out to eat. Do you want to talk to me and eat with the heavy bishop, or you want to look at your phone? I sat down there in Alabama with some kin folks and somebody over here on the couch and somebody over here in the chair, and they're texting one another. And we wonder why our children are so stupid. They don't have any dialogue.
I don't know. I just told them I didn't text.
We're raising a bunch of idiots.
Amen.
Tired of it. I'm tired of it. You know what the problem is? You don't have the cell phone. The cell phone has you.
Amen.
You can't even go to a deer stand. I had to fight that temptation now. Used to, I'd go in a deer stand and sit there for hours with nothing. Now you got that phone. Wonder who's texting me. Just got to go flipping through the... Nobody... You see people in the doctor's office or different places are just like... It is the truth. You know what you've done? You let the devil go. I'm going to take this smartphone and I'm going to ruin America.
Amen.
And ruin the church.
Right.
And ruin Brother Dennis's supper times with his church members. Because
yeah.
I want to eat and talk to you. Not look at a phone.
Amen.
Children are out of control. I know children are children. I know they act crazy. I know that. But they're very disrespectful. They're running loose all over the place. I don't understand it. Mamas, and I sympathize with you, mamas. I know it's hard sometimes. But I've never understood when a mama comes up and says, I just don't know what to do. 3-year-old Johnny. Every time we go in the grocery store, he's down in the floor flopping around and grabbing M&Ms and won't put them back. Hold on. You're a 30-year-old woman. You weigh 100 and whatever, how many pounds? Johnny's 3 and weighs about 35 pounds soaking wet, and you don't know what to do with him? You ought to talk to my daddy, bless God. He wasn't saved raising us, but he knew what to do with him. He could get it where little Johnny would faint if he ever saw an M&M again. He could fix it, brother. There's something wrong with us in this society.
Amen.
Something wrong. It's the parents' fault. The flesh is out of control. It just dominates and controls us. We're not taking every thought captive. We're not casting down wicked imagination. Listen, do you know what's going on in our churches? Our churches all around, the lack of self-control is ruining marriages. It's ruining families. It's ruining churches. Christian testimonies and our witness. Now, finally, some good news. I want to give some encouragement to the incontinent here. Now, listen. Though the Christians of the last days of the church are more prone to be that way,
Listen here today. You and I do not have to be that way. This church does not have to be a church full of incontinent Christians. There is help. How many of you believe that? First of all, I want you to understand that temperance is one of the nine fruits of the Spirit. Temperance is. Galatians 5:23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Again, Paul says of Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He says, the Lord's at hand. This is a time to be moderate, to be in control. You say, well, I've tried. Okay, that's right. You said, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't get control of myself. You are 100% right. You're right. We've proven that. But there's a man that lives within you that can. The new man, Christ Jesus, that lives within you, can help you get control of yourself. He can do it. You need to confess to God your areas of incontinency. You need to despise the fact that at times you are an incontinent Christian. When you're spirit-filled and you're spirit-controlled, you can, in fact, have victory over the flesh. How many of you believe that? You can take every thought captive. You can exercise temperance and control in your life. The key is the spirit-filled, spirit-controlled life, and it is available for every believer in here. A lengthy scripture I'll read, and then we'll get ready to close. I want to tell you this. You can't get help until you realize you got a problem. Then you hate that problem. You hate it. And then you fall in love with the problem fixer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:16 through 26, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now he's going to tell you, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. This is the result of having no self-control. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness. He goes through all that. But he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, he says, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. Do you have affections and lusts that you shouldn't have? The Jesus Christ within you can help you overcome that. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, church, as I close this morning, I want you to know this is an important message for all of us to take in today. Our lack of restraint and our lack of self-control can destroy. Listen to me. I'm making one final plea. It can destroy so many things that are precious to us. It can destroy your marriage. It can destroy your family. It can destroy your relationship with your children and with your friends. It can cause major problems in your local church. When the church is filled with members who don't know how to act when they don't get what they want. And worst of all, this morning, it can hurt your personal fellowship with God and His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's hope this morning. Come to the one that can give you hope. Amen, church. Get in His book. Get on your knees. Pray to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ask God to help you to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit. Then everything will fall into its right place. And the issue of lacking self-control will no longer be an issue. And my prayer is that God will help each and every one of us to cry out to God for mercy and help this morning. Every head bowed.